In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from John, the 19th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, thirsty, dry, gritty, sticky, sand in the mouth, not enough spit to swallow, cracked lips, unquenchable, burning sensation, thirsty. Do you know what it is to be thirsty? I'm sure you do. We've all been thirsty. I mean, cold and allergy season is right around the corner. It arrives and congestion begins to start in. Your nose becomes all stuffed up. You blow it, but the congestion comes right back. And pretty soon, you are forced to breathe through your mouth. And even worse, you go to bed, not being able to breathe through your nose, but just your mouth. And when you wake up, what is the first thing that you notice? The dry, gritty, sticky, sand in the mouth, not enough spit to swallow, cracked lips, unquenchable, burning sensation in your mouth. You are thirsty. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as he hangs on the cross that Good Friday afternoon, cries out, "I thirst." But our Lord's thirst is unlike any other thirst that you or I have ever experienced before. After all, which one of us has gone nearly 24 hours without anything to drink, all the while being marched from governing official to governing official, scourged with whips, beaten with fists, crowned with thorns, forced to drag your own instrument of death through the city and up the hill of Golgotha, nailed to the cross, and left to hang there in agony and pain. So much so that even drawing a breath would have been excruciatingly painful, slow, and difficult. And in the midst of all of this, St. John tells us that Jesus, knowing all was now finished, knowing that his suffering for your sin was now complete, cried out, "I thirst." But Jesus' statement, "I thirst," is more than just a simple statement of extreme dehydration or exhaustion from the last several hours. As he makes that statement, that cry, Jesus knows that there is only one thing left for him: death. Jesus can almost taste the tomb. The abyss of darkness that surrounds him, encircles him, encompasses him, presses in on him, presses down on him. The dry, coarse, gritty ground that he will soon be laid in, and the slow, powerful, seemingly irreversible course that death and the grave will try to work on him as it seeks to reduce his body to dust. Yes, Jesus thirsts, and he can almost taste the dirt and the dust of death. But that dirt and dust of death that Jesus now begins to taste in his mouth, it is not his own. It is yours. It is mine. "Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust shall you return." Those words were spoken to you and to me nearly 40 days ago on Ash Wednesday, when ashes, dirt, and dust were put on your forehead. "Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust shall you return." These are the words spoken to our first parents, Adam and Eve, after they sinned and disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden by eating from the tree which they were commanded not to eat from. Those words confront us with the reality of our own mortality. Sin entered this world through one man, and through his disobedience, the many, we, were made sinners. Because of that sin of Adam and his wife, we are now, by nature, sinful and unclean. From the time we are conceived, we are sinful. Because of this, the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think constantly and continually break God's laws. In fact, St. Paul tells us there is no one who is righteous. No, not even one. No one who understands. No one who seeks God. Their throat is but an open grave. For all sin and all fall short of the glory of God. And the just wages, indeed, the punishment for wickedness is death. Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust shall you return. Jesus is not only enduring the suffering, though, that you and I deserve for our sin. I tell you, he is about to undergo and endure your death and mine. It is moments away. He can almost taste it. But in the agony of Christ is hidden your beauty. In the death of Christ is hidden your eternal life. For you see, when Jesus bows his head in death, the punishment that sin demands is taken away. Because the punishment that sin demands is forever paid for in full, not with gold, not with silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. As he sheds it for you on the cross and he bows his head in death for you. The death Christ dies. He dies once for all, once for you. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but I tell you, because Jesus died for you and in your place, the free, pure gift of God is eternal life for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has looked upon your thirst of sin, and he has given you from the waters of life. He has given from his own side that water of life that poured out upon the cross for you, that it may become for you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He has said to you this day, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that in just 3 short days after Jesus bows his head, God will raise him up from the dead, then you will be saved. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who looks to Jesus, everyone who believes in him has eternal life, and God will raise him up on the last day. You see, because death no longer has mastery over Christ, it no longer has mastery over you who belong to him. No longer do you have to fear darkness and dirt and decay, dust, ashes, and death. Because the dust, the ashes, the dirt are not the always. They do not last forever. They are merely for a moment, for a lifetime, merely for today. Yes, today, right now, Jesus thirsts. The dirt, the dust, the grit of the tomb are so close that Jesus can almost taste it. Death is nearly at hand. Soon our Lord will be laid in the tomb and left to return to dust. But take heart, dear Christian, for you and I know that our Lord does not return to dust. He is not reduced to ashes. In a few short days, not even death and the grave will be able to hold him for eternity. And if not him, then not you. For these, your enemies, shall be overcome by him at his very resurrection to life. But for now, it is enough for our Lord to fulfill for us the punishment for our sin. It is enough for our Lord to die for us so that you and I and all other believers in Christ may not thirst but have the waters of life, who is Christ, that he may become in us a spring welling up to eternal life, cleansed from dirt cleansed from dust, cleansed from the ashes that cling to us, and given life. In Jesus' name, amen.